It seems every year, especially early in the year, there's a guy we're talking about that we didn't expect to be talking about. No disrespect to the player, but you see it every year. There are guys who get off to good starts, guys who turn into real good surprise stories, and guys who keep that going through the whole year. We hope that's the case with Chris Colabello, and Chris Colabello joins us on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Chris, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, you got it. I'm just enduring some nice weather here in Minnesota. So
okay, tell it
under my bed.
Tell us what it looks like out the window right now.
Well, it's I just looked out there. It's like a combination of snow and rain. It honestly, I expected it to be way worse. A little bit of snow has accumulated on the grass and sidewalks and stuff. But it's really, I thought it was going to be way worse than this, to be honest with you.
All right, and again, I'll let people know we will have both games of the doubleheader tomorrow, and we'll keep you informed as to whether or not the game is in fact played tonight. Right now, indications are that the Twins are meeting, and they'll make a decision as to whether or not the game is played. Chris, Kevin Barker's with me. Kevin Barker, guy who how many minor league home runs? 290.
Somewhere, almost 300.
Almost 300. And we were talking about your story, about the Twins trying to sell you to a Korean team. And you essentially said you want to keep the major league dream alive. You didn't want to go over to Korea. You wanted to keep that dream alive. Clearly, it was the right decision. But can you tell us a little bit just about your path to the majors right now and what went into that decision with the Korean team?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I got my start kind of in the Can-Am League in independent ball. Played there for 7 years. I played for the Worcester Tornadoes. Obviously kept aspiring to get picked up, but it hadn't happened for a little while. So, 2011 came around. I had my best year in indie ball. I made some changes that I thought really kind of, completed me a little bit the way I wanted to be as a hitter. I started driving the ball the other way better and started understanding the swing better. And then, I got picked up. And then 2012 was a fun year in Double A. Wasn't really sure what to expect, but, kind of went through it. And then Triple A, I started out really good and got my first call up last year, and for as hard and as it was, like in terms of if you look at my numbers, I think I did some things well, I did some things not so well, but I realized when I was up there, it's tough to not play every day. But I don't think the Twins were as much wanting to sell me to Korea as people made it out to be. The Korean teams actually contacted me at first, or my agent anyway, that is. And, the discussions kind of arose that way. They started contacting the Twins more than anything else. So, the organization left it in my hands. And at the end of the day, for me, it was about following my heart. My heart was here.
Hey, Chris, it's Kevin. I know you come from a baseball family background. How big of an influence has your father been through this whole ordeal to make it to the big leagues?
Oh, my dad's been right there with me through the whole thing. He's my best friend, my coach, my number one supporter, my number one critic, all the things you can picture a dad being. But it's been awesome to be able to share this ride with him. He had aspirations of doing the same thing when he was, coming out of high school and college, and unfortunately, had some injuries and things like that that didn't allow him to work out over here in the States. But he ended up playing over in Italy for the better part of 8 years, and actually, met my mom over there and things like that. Ended up playing for the Italian national team, which, was something I obviously wanted to do, because of that. But it was awesome to be able to share everything with him, especially, he got to come out the opening day this year. And, I look forward to continuing to share things with him because I'm actually teaching him how to relax a little bit now. Like for like the last 30 years, he's been really stressed. Like if I go 0-4, like can't even have a conversation. But
sounds like my father.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Getting better now. So
sure. Now, what position did Lou play?
He was a left-handed pitcher, so the exact opposite of what I do.
And he played in Italy for 8 years. I mean, was it always in your mind that you were going to be a baseball player?
Yeah, I mean, I think I started wanting to play in the big leagues before I learned how to breathe and eat. You know, it was in my blood. Like, I have pictures of myself from, you know, when I was, you know, 1-2 years old, like in the crib, like things like that with baseball bats and balls. Like, all my toys were baseball toys. Like, I remember, you know, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, like my only memory from my very formative years is, my dad asked me, like, when I got older, if I wanted to pitch or if I wanted to play the field. And I said, I want to play the field because in the American League, the pitchers can't hit. So just to let you know, I'm going to play in the big league. So that's kind of how that worked out. He took me really seriously at 4 years old, too. So he never taught me how to pitch, which, I mean, didn't really make sense to me. But I'm like, you took me that serious when I was 4? Come on, man.
Chris Colabello of the Minnesota Twins joins us. Hey, Chris, when you talk to guys who played independent ball, a lot of the times they'll say, hey, there's an element of luck. You got to be noticed at the right time. But you also have to kind of have a champion, don't you? Like a guy who looks at this guy and goes, I think he can play in the majors, or, you know, I think we've got to offer him a contract. I think this guy fits in. I think there's something here. Who was that guy with the Twins, or was there a guy that was really instrumental in kind of making sure that when that little crack appeared in the door, you were able to walk through it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, I realized that over the course of my first 6 years, like, I'd get a lot of calls about going to, like, tryout camps and things like that, but they were never serious from what I felt, you know. And then what happened in 2011, like the end of 2011, like I'd put together a really, really good year. And, you know, Baseball America ended up naming me their Independent Player of the Year, which, you know, was a great honor. And I think that kind of, you know, solidified everything that I had done in terms of my numbers for the 6 years before that. So, you know, what happened was I had, you know, he wasn't my agent at the time, but he was an agent. And he had, him and I had always spoken about, like, you know, he'd always ask if he could help me do some stuff and, like, mm-hmm. send things out to teams. And what ended up happening was he was sending stuff out to teams on a, you know, weekly, biweekly basis, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, you know, he got an email back from the Twins, and they seemed to be, you know, pretty serious about it. So they ended up sending their Northeast scout, John Wilson, out to see me work out back home, which, you know, at the time, like, you're working out in January, you know, end of January in New England, it's not, you know, not much you can do in terms of baseball stuff. We're in a cage, and, mm-hmm. You know, we just sat there, and he watched me take some ground balls, he watched me hit a little bit, and, you know, the rest is history.
Hey Chris, could you give us a little your thoughts on just how hard? I know I played in Rochester, and you know how cold it is in Rochester. Can you give us a little insight on just what it takes every day to play in cold weather? I just don't really think people understand just how hard it is for us. Yeah. I'm not a hitter anymore, but for us hitters to actually just walk to the plate when it's cold. Can you give some insight on that?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's pretty devastating. Like, you know, the good thing about, you know, I learned in Rochester and mm-hmm. in Minnesota is, like, I try to get my hands next to the heater as late as possible before I'm going up to bat. Like, sure. We have, you know, the blower in the dugout, because if I do that, usually I get a good 45 seconds to a minute where I don't have to worry about my my hands going numb and the mm-hmm. pine tar are not sticking anymore. So, but, I mean, honestly, it really is difficult to keep your body loose and things like that. But, you know, over the course of time, I've kind of tried to condition myself to, it's like a mind over matter thing. And, you know, when I remind myself that the guy across the field is dealing with the same things and probably likes it even less than I do, you know, sometimes I can use it to my advantage, I think. And, you know, it is hard because, you know, you hit some balls and you're like, yeah, I got that, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden it turns into, you know, a fly ball or whatever. Sure. Cause the ball's not carrying so well because you're hitting ice cubes. But, you know, something, unfortunately, you know, you have to learn how to deal with. But I guess this is the first and only time, you know, I've ever said this. I was like, man, I really wish I was in Toronto right now because, you know, we got the dome right there. But, no, I mean, I'm, you know, it's just, it's funny that, you know, somebody said that yesterday. We were talking about it, like, man, I wish we were up there. I'm like, wait, that's further north. Oh, they have a dome.
Sure. It's always warmer in the big leagues.
Mm. yeah.